Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We've been taking a close look this week at the new movie Spotlight and what it means for Boston. The critically acclaimed film tells the story of the Boston Globe's 2002 investigation of what later became the worldwide clergy sex abuse crisis. We've talked to members of the original Globe team, to a lawyer and a priest, and now we're going to hear from someone who represents the most important group of people in this story, the survivors.
I was 11 and three quarters, and it was the spring of 1964.
This is Phil Saviano. He's the founder of the New England chapter of SNAP, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. Saviano was an early and important source for the Globe's reporters, and you'll hear more on what Saviano thinks of the Spotlight movie in a bit. First, though, you're going to hear his true story. Saviano remembers what happened to him in devastating detail, so it may not be appropriate for all listeners. As he mentioned, he was just 11 and three quarters years old when he first met Father David Hawley.
Well, I was the newspaper boy, and I also lived just up the street from the rectory. I had to drop the newspaper off 6 days a week, and on Fridays I had to knock on the back door of the rectory to collect my 60 cents. For the week. He took an interest in several of us and slowly drew us in with funny stories, card tricks, things that a 11 or 12-year-old boy would find fairly interesting. And then one day, the deck of cards that he pulled out of his pants had pornographic pictures on them. And the effect of that was that, first of all, yeah, we thought that this was pretty unusual, but we also felt like he was sharing a secret with us, drawing us in, making us feel even more special. And so it was a sort of a gradual process that ultimately ended up in him exposing himself to us. And very shortly after that, coming on to us rather forcefully and asking for masturbation and oral sex. And I can tell you that I could not figure out how to get out of it, because what I was able to do was say to him, "I don't want to do this. I can't stay. I'm going to be late for supper. I have to get back to my paper route." And his response would be to grab me by my skinny wrist and pull me closer. And I did not have it within myself to go screaming out of the church. The difficulty for me was that I was dealing with a priest who I saw as God's representative at our little town.
There is a heart-rending scene in the Spotlight movie where Phil meets with the Globe's reporters and he asks them, "How do you say no to God?" This wasn't just sexual abuse, he says. It was also spiritual abuse.
I was trying to figure out whether it was sinful. And if it was a priest that was doing this to me, maybe it wasn't sinful. But on the other hand, if it was sinful, I really ought to confess it, because if I got run over by the school bus, I'd be in big trouble.
But you'd have to confess it to the man who was doing it to you.
But I had to figure out a way to confess it to Father Hawley, because he was my confessor. My abuser was my confessor.
But Saviano says he would go to church, enter the confessional, and sit in the dark, closing his eyes, knowing Father Hawley was inches away on the other side of the screen. Saviano would begin his confession.
Whatever my sins were as a 12-year-old, I yelled at my mother, or I don't know, I lied to my brother, and then I would say, "And you know the rest." And not once did he question me and say, "What are you talking about?"
Phil, may I say that this was 1965, you said?
Yeah, 65. 64 and 65.
So 50 years ago now.
Yeah.
And you still remember it with such devastating clarity.
I remember it, and sitting here, it's close to bringing tears to my eyes. That's how much I remember. It was a huge dilemma. Well, but fortunately, after 18 months, he left town. And none of us kids, at least, knew what happened.
Phil Saviano spent decades believing he and a small group of children were Holly's only victims. He was wrong. Almost 30 years later, Saviano was 40 years old when he saw a small story in the Globe's Metro section about a pedophile priest in New Mexico. It was Father David Holly.
And the day that I saw that story was my big life-changing moment, because I realized that my assumptions had been very naive. And then I also realized that this guy had a very long career. I mean, there were victims in Texas. There were in Texas as well as New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then he was eventually assigned to a diocese in Denver, Colorado, which is where he was when these stories came out.
Phil Saviano went to New Mexico and tracked down one of the other victims. That meeting changed his life. The man urged Saviano to speak out, telling him he had the rare chance to help dozens or even hundreds of people he might never meet. Because there was also this.
I was dying of AIDS, to be honest with you. The early part of 1992, I was very, very sick. I had had age-related pneumonia. I lost 30 pounds. I had, at that point, bought myself a cemetery plot, and I was interviewing funeral directors, trying to see who was going to do the best job with the makeup, and just, you know, making plans to check out. So I said to myself, how much harder can going public be than what I've already been going through? Mm. I mean, I'm dying. My career was in shambles. I was completely broke. At that point, I'd been living on disability for several months. And in the eyes of many people, you know, being a gay man with AIDS, my reputation was pretty shot. And I realized that I didn't have anything left to lose.
So in 1993, Phil Saviano went public. His story appeared on the front page of the Boston Globe and later on USA Today and in other media. He and other survivors then asked the church to pay for their therapy expenses, but they were rebuffed because the church claimed no one had ever made any complaints against Father Holly. So Saviano, through his lawyer Eric McLeish, sued the church.
And over the course of discovery, I learned that there were 7 bishops in 4 states that knew he was a child molester, that he had been caught repeatedly, that he had been sent to 4 different church-run treatment centers. You know, the deal with these church-run treatment centers is that they're not mandated reporters. Mm-hmm. So the secret gets kept within the organization, and Father Holly was very much protected through that process.
The church made Saviano a settlement offer, but it included a strict confidentiality agreement.
Basically, I said, what, are you nuts? I'm not going to, there's no way I'm going to agree to this. If I was to go along with that, I would be no better than some of these bishops who were covering it up. And I, you know, I said to my lawyer, I'm not taking these secrets with me to the grave. I'm not having that on my conscience that I cooperated with the church in their campaign of secrecy.
Eventually, the church backed off from the confidentiality demand. Saviano says it's probably because everyone figured he was dying of AIDS and wouldn't be around to trouble them for much longer. But Saviano proved them wrong. This was 1996, and a couple of remarkable things happened. First, the FDA had recently approved the first protease inhibitors, powerful AIDS drugs that saved Saviano's life. Second, he founded the New England chapter of SNAP, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, and he started meeting people, collecting names and documents.
And I approached the Globe in 1998 with much of what I had. I sent them a four-page letter, a pile of the documents from the Father Holly case with letters from bishops in different parts of the country. I thought sure that the Globe reporters would be interested in looking into this, and much to my surprise, they weren't.
And to the filmmaker's credit, that oversight gets a mention in the Spotlight movie.
John Slattery, in this one section of the film, and he says, 5 years ago, Saviano was a frigging train wreck. No, we didn't miss anything. And I think that he was sort of covering for himself in the fact that, yeah, they did miss a lot of stuff. And if they had paid proper attention to me, they would have had this story several years earlier.
The Globe Spotlight team did eventually listen to Phil Saviano. They spoke with him for hours, and his story and contacts contributed significantly to their Pulitzer Prize-winning reporting in 2002. And including Saviano's story in the movie underscores what New York Times film critic A.O. Scott calls the film's major concern, which is the way power operates in the absence of accountability. So how does Phil Saviano feel about seeing his story on the big screen? Phil says simply, he cried. Last month, Boston Cardinal Sean O'Malley released a statement about the Spotlight film. He said the movie depicts, quote, a very painful time in church history. He says the church continues to seek the forgiveness of those harmed, and he reiterated his commitment to ridding the church of abusive priests. So with that in mind, I had one last simple question for Phil Saviano. Are you still a Catholic?
You know, I do have that cemetery plot in the Catholic cemetery back home, and I will probably end up there. But I'm not a practicing Catholic. I've learned too much about the Catholic Church to really take it seriously. So I'll just leave it at that.
Phil Saviano is the founder of the New England chapter of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. He's featured in the new movie Spotlight, which opens today. We've spoken with many people connected to the film this week. You can listen back to our series at radioboston.org. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.